brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Fact.
This used to be a one-hour show, but in an effort to be more accepted into the EU, we're going to be converting to metric, so this is a one-meter show.
I don't know if that works. I'm not sure that converts like that.
Well, then, you know, I mean, other people left, so there's a spot open. I figured it would be worth a shot. Maybe we can, you know, get stuff from Europe cheaper.
You go to a 700 milliliter show.
See, that's where that's where they lose me in Europe.
They short us 50 milliliters.
Yeah, their bottles are smaller. Like, what the hell is wrong with you people?
How does that happen?
You go to Australia, you can buy a 4.5 liter bottle of bourbon.
And Germany.
Ooh.
But yeah, go to Europe and bottles are 700. That's just
now you can get the four you can get the 4.5 liters in Germany.
It's just
you
can't
get the 4.5 liters in Florida.
Maddening. Nah, I wish. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
Yeah, always a pleasure to be here, especially for the fall shows.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Another beautiful day in the basement.
And good old boy Justin.
Good morning, Bob. Today is going to be a great day.
A great day. Great day. Great, great, great day.
And good old boy Armeed.
I'm still mad that I missed the BTAC show and I want you all dead. But, you know,
other than that,
thanks for having me today.
Thank you. I will hang my head in shame for that.
Well, somebody couldn't fit it in their schedule. So, anyway.
I have to work nights. You people with your day jobs. Jeez.
Yeah. Says the guy who has the store who gets the VTech into the store. So, okay.
Not enough for me to open my own bottles.
Cheap bastard. All right. Well, Brent, Maury, and myself with the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 continents. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events. You can check them out at the Bourbon Mafia on Facebook. Our show is also sponsored in part by the Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and their events, you can visit them at ftlws.com. Of course, right now with COVID, there are no damn events.
Oh no, we opened up now. We're open. We can have anything we want.
Good luck.
Yep.
I don't think so. Had plenty of Zoom tastings, like everyone else.
I think we should keep doing those Zoom tastings for a little bit.
I'm still not convinced that all this COVID stuff is a giant, fast conspiracy, and that it was created in a basement lab somewhere in the headquarters of Zoom.
That makes sense.
That's why it's going worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm telling you.
Zoom. Think about it. Who is the
multinational
one
conglomerate?
What is the one company that really did well at all of this? Okay, I mean, other than hand sanitizers and face masks, it's Zoom. All right, we're on to you. Mm-hmm. And our show is also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of the Automatic Machines, serving great wines, whiskeys, and other spirits by the glass. You can find them at finespirits.net or on Facebook. At Fine Spirits.
It's facebook.com/Fine Spirits. By the way, Fine Spirits would like to disavow any conspiracy theories right now. Don't come for us, please. Zoom. I didn't say anything.
It's too late. I've already sent them your email. You're banned. So our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and today's episode is our fall release number 2 episode. And here are the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. From the folks at MGP, we have the Remus Reserve number 4. From Little Book, we have their Chapter 4, Old Forester Birthday Bourbon 2020. With the Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond Spring 2020, the Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond Bond Fall 2020, and from the folks at Brown Forman, the 2020 release of King of Kentucky.
So why doesn't Scotch have a, like a, they don't have a big release every year, do they?
Hardbeg, really? It's the only one that has
a day. No, Lafroy, Hardbeg, Lagavulin. They all have face.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know, like, but I mean, in the fall, we have bourbon, but Scotch doesn't really have a season. Like, they just, like,
okay, well, Iowa does. In May,
they have face.
Yeah.
That's what
okay.
When the fish is going, all the stuff that you have, Brent, all the Smoky Petey, all releases all their new high-end stuff for the fish.
I'll remember that.
So
the May releases. Also, we've got a fall release of Glenmo coming up. We've got the distillers. We got those.
We might have Diageo some of that Glenmo on the way in here.
The cake. Just that'd be nice. The cake coming?
Oh, that would be nice.
Yes, we might. We might have some.
Like a little schoolgirl.
Well, awesome. It's because you're wearing that outfit. I mean.
Well, I thought I'd keep it spicy today.
I thought maybe you were like trying to channel, one of the guys from AC/DC, but it's a skirt, dude. I mean,
my kilt shrunk in the wash.
It's like a Catholic schoolgirl gone bad in that outfit. So
I'm not sure what's worse, him or Mr. No Pants.
Well, Brent doesn't own pants.
I don't even own them, so I'm okay there.
Yeah, well. Keeps him
from not going the rest to of the country, not the rest of the country, but
it definitely keeps him from going to church.
No, it doesn't.
That usher at the door said it did last Sunday, so
they pray for me there.
Oh, we all do in our own special,
he can get away with it in virtual church way. For sure.
Well, we're going to be tasting, discussing these whiskeys and rating them with these signature sounds. So, we're going to be having our resident expert Justin give us our ratings.
All right. Today, we're going to be tasting and discussing these whiskeys and rating them with these sips ratings plus our signature sounds.
It's like John Davidson.
Here are those ratings now.
It's time for the Joker's Wild.
Yeah.
Don Pardo. That's right. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
I don't feel the pain though. No, I seem very amused.
Yeah.
Two sips, nice, but what else do you have?
Still not buying it.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Now we have four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
You want to phone a friend or...
Come on down.
Five sips. Oh my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Just not working.
No.
Gene Rayburn is spinning in his grave right now. And he was the king of match games. So, you're soiling his memory with that horrible, horrible, horrible. Just
dude, you are not that old, much older than me. How do you remember Gene Rayburn? That you pulled that
match
out.
Game? You didn't watch Match Game?
I watched Match Game.
Was awesome.
I did.
Come on, the only game show host better. Let's face it, the greatest game show host that ever lived.
I love those that wand Barris. Mic. Yeah, it's like a 14-inch mic.
Chuck Barris was king.
Chuck Woolery from The Dating Game.
Chuck Barris. Barris. Chuck Barris and his biography, you just kind of hope he really was a hitman for the CIA because that would just make it even cooler.
Absolutely.
Doing the Gong Show in the day and whacking spies at night. Come on. All right. Well, moving on from our game show theme. So this is the second of our 2020 fall limited release episodes. So all of us on the show really look forward to this time of year. Obviously. Yeah. Of course, in 2020, we look forward to... just about anything.
Just to get out of the house. We look forward to getting out of the house.
I go out and watch the guy pick up the garbage. That's the most exciting thing happening.
Puts out a lawn chair, pulls himself a
drain. For the fall bourbon season, it's really an exciting time since you aren't really leaving the house for the rest of the year. Anyways, grab yourself a glass, grab yourself a dram, have a seat, and you can sort of vicariously live through us for the next 52 minutes. Oh, wait, no, it's metric now. 52 centimeters? Yeah, something like that.
That's not going to convert.
Millimeters. Yeah, that's what
millimeters.
And remember, the easiest way to keep from touching your face in this time of great thing is to have a glass in each hand. So
that's what I do all the time.
Yeah, we know. That's why you don't wear pants. So
can't pull them up.
Speaking of no pants, we're going to have Brent tell us a little bit about our first whiskey.
Thanks, Bob. Our first whiskey is the Remus Repeal Reserve, Series 4. It's 50% ABV, a nice 100 proof. This annual limited edition release from MGP is named after George Remus, the self-proclaimed King of the Bootleggers, an inspiration for the great Gatsby. The Remus Repeal Reserve Series is now in its fourth year and allows MGP's distillery team to draw from their most exceptional reserves to experiment with different medleys. Series 4 showcases a lineup of 12-year-old bourbons comprised of a medley of two mash bills from 2008. One is it's 77% bourbon. It's made up of 21% rye, and a 23% bourbon made up of 36% rye. So you got the two different bourbons there. They blended together and stuff. The color of this one, am I going to say topaz?
No,
brown.
That's the wrong one.
Brown?
Mahogany.
Mahogany, yeah. This is a nice copper brown, nice copper color, penny color. I like this. The nose, just beautiful, beautiful, rich caramel. It's got this candied fruits on it. Nose is excellent. I love this nose. On the palate, you get the baking spices, you get some oak. You get a little bit of rye. You get that vanilla. You got a little bit of cherry on there. And the finish on this one does not quit. This is smooth. I mean, it just draws you in. It coats your mouth. It fills you. It's just a nice, smooth. Doesn't want to stop. You don't want to stop drinking it. You're just, matter of fact, I'll have another sip now.
What was the color of it?
Yeah, it was a copper penny color.
Is it true that we have to bring our own water?
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was beautiful. I mean, this is something I wish we had it down here. I love it. I mean, I want to go after this and get this. This is better than so many different, store picks that people are doing, and running around and getting MGP. But, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about it a little bit more in a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we are discussing the Remus Repeal Reserve. Series number 4, and Brent was just waxing poetic on how happy he was. What do the rest of you guys think?
I really enjoyed this one. I remember drinking the rest of the series, and so far this one's my favorite, and it's really well balanced, and it's complex, and it makes like a really firm flavor statement. It's like full, rich, hit you, but not too hard. What'd you think, Harm?
I'm just trying to figure out the fruit in this one. I love it, and I keep coming back to it and nosing it, and it's like the candied fruits are there, but I can't really. It's not like a fruitcake type of candied fruit. That's, I don't know what it is.
Well, you do definitely get cherries on it. I get cherries on it for sure.
It's almost something like floral as well. And well, the baking spice I actually got on the nose as well.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
I'm just chewing it. That's like, it's just so good. I love it.
What do these cost? Do anybody know?
No idea. I've never seen it in Florida.
No.
It's worth it.
It's supposed to come to Florida.
It's worth it, whatever it is.
You've seen it, Maury?
No, I've not seen it in Florida. And I have no idea what the retail is. But it is a beautifully made bourbon. I think both Brent and the notes are spot on. The candied fruit and spice really comes through nicely. It does remind me a little bit of a fruitcake, but...
It's not the same. It's not that you know, candied pear and cherry. Maybe it is candied cherry there, but
there's definitely cherry. There's definitely a lot of toasted oak, baking spice. It drinks actually a little hotter. It's not too hot, but if I had to guess the proof, I'd guess it was a 110 or 120.
That's what you'd think.
It's definitely got a little more heat and a little more body to it that you'd expect from a higher proof whiskey.
It does. You know, all these people are getting MGP to do their own single barrels and stuff, but
gosh, I see you looking at me. Yeah, mine was really good, dude.
You can't compare to this, though. No, I mean,
mine was a 5.5-year-old barrel. Well, they're not offering us 12.
No, I understand that, but
I don't know. The fruit that I'm getting, if you remember when you were a kid, you would go into the grocery store, you know, in the winter when everybody was making fruitcake, and they would sell the little containers with the candied cherries and all the candied fruit that you put in the fruitcake, all sticky and covered in that syrup. That's the fruit that I'm getting. It's not so much the fruitcake itself.
That's just a bunch of sugar. That doesn't taste like it to me. This has got something else.
No, it's got that.
And there's like a tobacco note that Brent didn't mention either that's coming out now there.
I get that more on the nose. I have no idea.
Well, there's a whole bottle over there, man. They're very generous with their samples. Thank you, Remus.
Yeah, I get the tobacco on the tip.
Yeah.
And then I get it's more of a.
I'm going to revisit this one.
This is so complex. Again, I want to keep coming back.
Like
to
old leather.
I know it is. It's you just keep wanting more and more. I mean, this one is. It really is one of those ones that, whoa, that was really nice.
Revisit, there's more notes coming out. This is very.
Yeah. Nice. Pour me another.
Well, again, we've done two and three. I don't remember if we did one, but I know we've done two and three because I still have a little bit left. I think this is the best one they've done so far.
Absolutely. I love it, but I think this might be off-putting some people who want more fruit. It's because it is that 12-year-old age. It's going to have less fruit to it. It's more oak. But I think it's fantastic.
I don't talk to those people.
I have to talk to people I don't like. I'm sorry.
That's why you're here, to talk to us.
Don't give me attitude, sir.
Yeah, that's what I say to them. Well, we're going to be giving the Remus Repeal Reserve Series 4 a well-deserved 5 sips.
Yes.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yes. All right. So we're going to be moving on to our next one, which is the Little Book Chapter 4, Lessons Honored. And we're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
Why, thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
This is good old boy Harmy telling you about the Little Book Chapter 4, Lessons Learned. 61.4% ABV, 122.8 proof for the people who are mathematically challenged. This is the fourth release in the annual Little Book series by from Freddie Beam, the eighth generation Beam family distiller. Like the previous chapters in the acclaimed Little Book series, Lessons Honored continues to be delivering on the nose passion for creating first to world? What does that mean?
Whatever.
High-quality blended whiskeys, while also honoring the Beam family legacy. Freddie said that this year's release is an ode to my dad and the lessons he has passed down to me about bourbon and life, and which I hope to pass down to my own children. That's very sweet. That's cloyingly sweet. This release is a blend of the
following. He's so warm, isn't he? He's just, you know, it's... It's like sitting next to a Hallmark card with this one here.
All I want to pass down to my daughter is a little inheritance, and she can go on her own. Yeah, let's be good. What lessons she learned from me?
You're lucky you didn't pass down some of the other things.
The only lesson she needs to learn from me is don't do what Dad did with his life. That's
it. Yeah, well, thankfully because of antibiotics, you didn't pass that down. So moving on.
COVID killed my herpes. Sorry.
Just made it less noticeable for me. I mean, you know.
Let's continue, please. This release is a blend of the following. A 4-year-old Kentucky Straight Brown Rice Bourbon, an 8-year-old Kentucky Straight High Rye Whiskey, and a 7-year-old Kentucky Straight Whiskey, Bourbon Whiskey. The color is a beautiful caramel, and the nose has that characteristic Jim Beam peanut. There's a little Muscovado sugar there, and that red fruit that I was missing in the Remus is coming out here as well. And the palate. Let's try this again. Nice body. Right up front, I get that toasty brown rice, charred wood. The cherries come out in the palate again. And then it goes into this weird spice, which I don't know what's going on here. It's almost licorice-y.
Yeah, it's almost, it's not quite a baking spice.
Yeah.
You know, but it is, it's
there is, I think you're right, a little star anise.
Yeah.
Just a hint.
And then, yeah. and then it clears up and it's the finish is warm and long and it feels good. It's a nice finish. And then right at the very back end, I got some pepper. So again, complex, quite tasty. I enjoyed it. Maury, what'd you think?
Well, as much as I hate it, I must have to agree with you today. I love the finish. It's just this warm, beautiful Kentucky hug that just kind of goes on and on. I think it's a beautifully made whiskey. I agree with you. Spot on the description in terms of the spice, the nose, the palate. It's got a beautiful mouthfeel. It's full-bodied. It's really delicious. It follows in what he's done. Baby. And again, he's an awesome whiskey maker. I'm very impressed with this whiskey.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to like this because I, you know, some other people had talked to me and said, well, you know, and so I kind of already had this
notions,
right? Exactly. You know,
I liked previous releases a little book.
You know, I loved the.
I didn't read anything coming into this that you had people talking about.
I had a couple people talk about it and stuff, and so. At first, on the palate, I got something that was off-putting, and then it was like, wait a minute, that's the brown rice. That's not, and then the peanuts, and I was like, oh my God, I'm in a Thai restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I'm in a Thai restaurant. I'm having the spicy peanut, not the spicy, but the peanut sauce with rice. You know, yeah.
You know,
and that's what I'm having.
I didn't
that's
find
what,
the brown rice off-putting. To me, that wasn't, it was the after
you go, after it goes through its finish and its nice warm finish and stuff, and then you come back to it, then it's like, oh, it just kind of mellowed it out, you know, after the first time. It was very, very pleasant after that. The first time, it's like, what is it? It just kind of was off-putting to me.
Definitely improved with air and then time in the glass.
It was, I just didn't know what it was, so it was kind of like, kind of caught me off guard.
But I agree with you. My first sip, I was on the fence.
Yeah.
And as it sat here and I've come back to it several times, I think it's really beautifully developed and opened up.
Justin?
I mean, and the nose, there's like three distinct phases where it kept changing the different notes that would come out of it. Like first it was almonds, then it was oranges, and then the bean peanut orange. After that.
Almonds I'll give you, but because that's close to the toasted brown rice, right?
But yeah, orange, it is close.
I don't get the citrus.
And then the palate only for me changed twice, while the nose changed three times. It's really mysterious and cool. I liked it a lot. And the finish stayed the same through the whole time. Through, like, you know, when I first got here, half hour later, hour later.
It's a surprisingly long finish for such a mellow, layered, complex whiskey. I mean, it's not in your face.
It doesn't punch you in the face.
And that was what I was saying.
It sort of goes on and on.
Yeah, well, the Remus was 100 proof and tasted hotter. This is 122. And
it does not taste hot at all.
Right, it tastes like 100.
But its best asset is it's really long, mellow, delicious, delightful finish.
That finish just goes forever.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That first taste, when I first tasted it, I just wasn't, you know, but after that, after you go through that whole finish, then you go back and revisit it, it's like, whoa. This really goes together.
I've had that Jim Beam brown rice release, and I had the red wheat, and I had a couple of those they put out. I love the brown rice, and I love the wheat. So I this for me wasn't a big surprise with the brown rice, and I was expecting it. So
do you have any of the Chapter 4 yet?
I think we have a couple bottles left,
We're going to be rating the Little Book Chapter 4, Lessons Honored, a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
So moving on to our next one, we're going to have Maury tell us about that.
Thank you, Bob. The next whiskey today is the Old Forester 2020 Birthday Bourbon. It's 49% ABV or 98 proof. It's a 10-year-old expression with a mash bill of 72% corn, 18% rye, and 10% malted barley. For the 20th release, yes, the 20th, of the Old Forester Birthday Bourbon, Master Distiller Chris Morris and Master Taster Jackie Zykan selected 95 barrels. They were all barreled on June 5th of 2010. The full allotment of the product represents one day's production of Old Forester. This is the third birthday bourbon to be bottled at the Old Forester Distilling Company on Louisville's historic Whiskey Row. So that's kind of cool that they're actually bottling some stuff there.
Yeah,
that facility is mostly for show. Right. They're not really doing a whole lot.
Are they doing
any
production
it's
there?
It's very, very small.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Very small.
They do a few barrels.
They self-describe the color as a dusty topaz.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I would call it beautiful burnished copper. But,
everything is topaz to me now. Forget that brown. Forget topaz. That brown. Wash it down. This is all topaz now.
Yeah. The nose, interesting blend of white floral notes. And we've all agreed there's a bit of magnolia there. There's some citrus, spice, vanilla, buttery leather, a little bit of cocoa. There's definitely lots of spice, brown sugar, a hint of caramel, and even a hint of tropical fruit. On the palate, it's a beautiful whiskey. It's got a delicious mouthfeel. It's got caramel and toffee brittle. And then there's some character of tropical fruits that come through, hint of banana and mango. They describe some coconut, which I really did not get, and nut that I wouldn't swear is macadamia, but perhaps it is. And then it's got a beautiful finish. The finish is a little dry, little hint of anise at the very end. Just a really, really beautiful whiskey. I think it's a step up from last year's, and maybe not as exciting as I remember some of the previous releases, but definitely a step up from last year's birthday bourbon.
Yeah, the 20th anniversary. Yeah, this I think this is a little bit better than. I mean, I just opened up a 2013 the other day, and had all the dusty notes and characters and stuff to it, but this one here. There's too many layers to this one almost. It's almost like there's too much going on, if that's possible in a bourbon.
No such thing.
You know, there's no such thing, but
every time you come back to it, it's new and refreshing.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. It's like, well, wait a minute. I just had that, now I'm tasting this.
Okay, and so Maury mentioned magnolia. I mean, I was reading some of the notes that they provided us, and I said, I don't get any of this floral note. This is no citrus here. What's going on here? And as it sits in the glass, I got taken back to New Orleans. That is completely magnolias. It's crazy. And then the mango on the palate, I wasn't expecting that. It's all there. This is layers of flavor. And so good.
Exactly. Every single time you taste it, you get something else comes up.
I got Earl Grey tea just now. What the hell?
Black tea. And that was the thing. On the first tasting, you were a little unimpressed, but then the more you come back to it, the more you find. It's like a treasure hunt.
Yeah, I don't know what Hawaiian flowers taste or smell like, but I just imagine it when I taste this, you know?
Yeah, the I think they taste like crepe paper if you're talking about the ones they give you at the airport.
And yeah. Mario was saying you didn't get coconut. I'm coming back. I'm getting coconut on the sides. How do they make this magic?
It's a magic elixir.
They did Justin, well what'd
you
though.
Think?
So, for me, there was a lot of coffee and mango, and those were the prominent notes. And coconut was there, but it was kind of in the background.
Nobody put water in any of our whiskeys today. I'm trying this.
That's thing. True.
I didn't get any coffee. Did you guys get coffee on this
Not
one?
At all.
Yeah, I didn't get coffee. Yeah, I think his morning coffee
Maybe
still
my morning
lingering.
Coffee spilled over. Yeah, I think Anything's possible. It's all I had today. So
out of the 43 layers I got, I didn't get coffee.
On the exhale, I get like a mocha.
A mocha.
Yeah. Take a sip and then mocha. Slow exhale through the nose.
Basically, if you can find a bottle, get a bottle because it's all going to taste different, but it's to you because this whiskey has got so many freaking layers. I cannot believe it. Oh, wow.
Every time you sip it, it's a different bourbon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want more.
Right.
I wish they'd send us bigger samples.
Yeah,
of this
last year's was good. This is but way this bigger. Is definitely, I guess, for the 20th anniversary, you have to step
you
it
have
up
to
a
step
bit.
It
so
up
I think I've tasted maybe six of these over the years, and this is my favorite one so far.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You heathen!
I'm telling you,
you have a short memory.
Well, we're gonna
the last one you taste is always your favorite.
And that's not true. That's not true.
We're going to be rating the 20th anniversary Old Forester Birthday Bourbon, a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, all my right. goodness.
Yeah. 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 All right, so we're going to the next one. We're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
You know, I sought out this when I heard it was coming out, I sought this one out, and I went and got this. This is the Old Fitz Bottle and Bond Spring 2020 release. It's 50% ABV, 100 proof, 9 years old. So starting in 2018, each spring and fall, a new edition of the Old Fitz Gerald, the Bottled in Bond decanter series is released. And they're nice because they come in a nice decanter. It's a nice ornate decanter inspired by the original 1950s Old Fitzgerald diamond decanter. The series reflects the tradition of both the Old Fitzgerald history tied to John E. Fitzgerald and the historic Bottled in Bond designation. The Old Fitzgerald line is well known for its distilling pedigree, as the brand was first registered in 1884 by S.C. Herps and is eventually sold to Julian P. Pappy Van Winkle during Prohibition. Pappy moved production of the Old Fitzgerald to his Stitzel Weller distillery, where it became the first great wheated bourbon. The ages of the past releases have varied from 9 to 15 years. This in here is a nice topaz.
Everything's topaz forever. It's all topaz forever.
I can't
it's
say
like the Pee Wee Herman
right.
show. Everyone has to scream.
Let's be honest.
When
he doesn't even
topaz.
Know what a topaz is. He thinks it's like a mushroom or a kind of dog.
I don't know. I'll look up. I'm gonna look
it's
up
a breed of Chihuahua.
Right. I'm gonna look up and see what kind of cat topaz is. Anyway,
make sure you look up Dusty Topaz.
Yeah, Dusty. So yeah. All these are nice copper colors. You know, you get used to them. You see them all. You know, some are
if
a little bit
brown,
darker than others.
Down,
yeah, right, exactly. You know, so you get this is you get some caramel, get some peanuts on there, a little bit of citrus. The finish.
What did you say? You get what on the? That didn't sound. Did you say peanuts?
I said peanuts on the nose.
Okay, oof, it didn't sound like peanuts.
It's Ooh. Peanuts on the lips you got to worry about.
There you go, and stuff. It's got this on the palate. You get the same. You get the caramel. You get some spice to it and stuff. Now, when I opened the bottle at your shop, and we opened it up there at the store.
Thank you, by the way.
That was when we had that. That was like, oh my God, beautiful. Ooh, yeah. I mean, it just overtook you. And this one here, coming out of this bottle, which is a smaller sample bottle. Is a more like refined, smoother finish.
It's oxidized.
Yeah, that with
what we're saying. What we're saying to you people, when you send us samples, send us the big one.
Send us the big bottle.
Well, yeah, but that's big peanuts.
Carmen
big peanuts.
Problem. Well, we'll be back. The destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue.
Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we are in the midst of our fall release series number 2 show.
We spent the commercial enunciating the word peanut.
Thank you. Yeah.
Peanuts.
Thank you. Please.
Peanuts.
Put that second syllable in there. It didn't sound right, buddy. So we're discussing the Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond Spring 2020 release. And what do the rest of you guys think?
I think it had a really cool dusty note on the nose, which all the like really nice older bourbons have.
To me, that came across
70s
as walnut.
And 80s.
Didn't you get walnut?
Yeah. That's sort of the walnut astringency of the skin. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Justin. I cut you off because I had to say walnut because it's easier to pronounce than peanut.
You know, comparing this one to the old Fitz from the 80s, it's just like a fainter version of that. And that was probably the old Stitzel Weller juice because a lot of the Pappy and the old Fitz pretty similar.
I'll tell you, when we opened this up out of the bottle, the
decanter.
Yeah,
I wanted to hear
bottle,
some more about that. Thank you for bringing that up.
This was powerful, almost overwhelming.
It was a brighter whiskey. It was full-bodied. But this is, they send us, sometimes these samples get oxidized. Plus, we're also, we poured them in for a while before we let them breathe.
Yeah, because that
But I think you're right, though, Harm. I think you're onto something, that the packaging makes a difference. Remember, these are bottles that, you know, may have been open and then samples are poured off, and the integrity in terms of oxygenation and oxidation is not necessarily the same as a bottle coming off the line.
I mean, when I tasted it there, I was like, okay, this is like one of my top, one of my top of the year. You know, this is one of the my favorite things of the year so far.
I love when Brent visits me. He always picks something really great and he always shares some. And let me tell you, that was a stunning bottle. So this, I think we should just open some more of that. Send Brent home.
Come to the
Uber now.
Come to the house, and we'll share some more. You know. So
well, regardless, it's
still good. No, this is.
I'd love to revisit that bottle.
Fascinating whiskey. The thing I got when we first started tasting on this one, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah. On the finish, for
On the finish and on the nose.
It's not quite Reese's for me, because I totally get the chocolate, and nobody mentioned that earlier, except thank you for doing that. Chocolate, oak, brown sugar, walnuts, but not too much fruit. I think there was more fruit when we opened that fresh bottle, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. This is Reese's peanut butter cup in a glass.
Yeah.
I mean, even Bob came over to the house and had it a couple days later, and it was... You know, I mean, this is stunning. This is good. Don't get me wrong. This is all good here. But this is just like a little subtle
shadow of its former self.
It just shows how it changes.
Yeah.
You know, it just evolves with oxygen and time. So, but we're going to be rating
That may speak for things like wine preservation systems and argon, if you wanted to preserve this whiskey from the time you open it.
Nitrogen argon mix, generally people use for wine.
Either.
Yeah, just buy it's wine preserver.
Yeah,
when you
open
go to the store.
Yeah, I use it. I use whenever I open a real high end or a really old dusty bottle. I always give it a shot. When it's something that's expensive and you're not drinking a lot of, then
If you're gonna save it over a couple years, definitely put some of that nitrogen in there.
Of course, when Brent comes over, it doesn't matter, because it lasts about 11 and a half seconds.
Nothing lasts.
Yeah. You expect that bottle to last after I've opened it? No, it doesn't happen.
So we're going
to
be rating the Old Fitzgerald Bottled in Bond Spring 2020 release, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's move on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So we're going to talk about Old Fitzgerald Bottled in Bond. It's a fall 2020 release. It's 50% alcohol by volume. 100 proof, and it's 14 years old. Of course, every bottle in bond's 100 proof, and this one's no exception. So the next whiskey is the fall release of the 2020 Old Fitzgerald Bottled in Bond. And the color was brown. The nose was subtle.
That's... Dusty Topaz.
Stand corrected. I did get a cane sugar note.
Marketing people have such diverse thesauruses. They must get special ones.
And then I got light aloe on the nose also. The palate for me was dominated.
Did you go to the beach or something? Light aloe?
I haven't been to the beach in a long time. You could tell by my skin how pale it is. So
it's like maybe you slathered yourself with some suntan lotion.
Not today. So on the palate, I got big brown sugar notes, and the finish was medium. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, this one is completely different than, when you have the two, you have the fall and you got the 14 year. These are completely different. And the one thing that noticed the most about this one is that this one has a lot more oak to it.
Yeah.
It's very much...
if they didn't tell you the age, you'd tell you.
Right, you would know right away. And it's almost to the point where it's, almost too much oak, but they've stopped it, right at that point where they...
It's a little out of balance. It's not perfectly balanced.
Right, they've stopped it. It's like, okay, wait a minute. We let it go like a month too long or something, or something happened. But it's really good still. Don't get me wrong. Don't think like,
they're shooting for a different whiskey. There's a lot of people who like an older, more oaked, more dusty,
you know, right. the more advanced age flavor on a bourbon. They hit it on the head.
If you don't want those lighter, fruitier notes, and you're getting more of these tannic, oaky notes. I mean, I still got milk chocolate on this. I think plenty of milk chocolate.
So.
It's not dark chocolate. It's milk chocolate. The walnut is still there. But the tannin is there. But I also got a little pepper on the finish. Anybody get pepper?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But I mean, that's what I wrote here.
But it's very pleasant.
Oak, but not to the point where it's overpowering, you know? So, I mean, that's the oak is right there. And it's and so you know it's an older
It depends on your mood. I mean, sometimes I don't want the older, more astringent, more oaky, more dusty kind. And sometimes I do. Right now, I'm digging this.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not trying to say that there's anything wrong with this one, but you have to compare
them. It's different.
When you got a 9-year-old and a 14-year-old next to each other.
And that's the fascinating thing is you can sit there and see how it changes over time.
Right.
You know.
Right.
What's even more fascinating is when you get a 9-year-old that tastes like this and a 14-year-old tastes like the first one. That's the one that messes with your head.
Yeah. Right.
And that happens. And how many times have we had that and your brain just goes, you know.
I read a description of a scotch one time. The guy wrote it as dusty church pews. It's like, I need to go to church more often because this is dusty church pews. This is that old wood.
I'll give you that this one. Nice. Yeah, that's it. Again, this is, I mean, oh my God, I could sell a damn tanker full of this in Japan.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I was just thinking that.
If they could make 1,000,000 bottles of this, they could sell in Japan for $1,000 a bottle and still not have enough.
Right.
Yeah. This is you're not looking for the fruit here. You're looking for those older notes.
Yeah.
And it's there. And it's there in spades. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
It's got that dusty palate.
Dusty topaz?
Almost. Yeah.
Dusty topaz palate, dusty church pew taste. It's all good.
I mean, you know, there's a bit of the tannic oak, but there's honestly on the very top of it, there's a little bit of the sweet oak. So
there's a tobacco note.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go sandalwood, but it's not sweet enough.
No,
it's definitely not.
No, but I can see where you're going with that. It's definitely, there's almost that sandalwood note.
Some little butteriness that crept in there as well.
Yeah, that's what's setting up the sandalwood in your head.
It's buttery and
yeah,
a little bit oaky. It's quite good, but you have to be in the mood for a drier style whiskey.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's sweet. It's got some really great layers.
The finish doesn't stop either, though. I mean, the finish is you know, excellent finish. I love this, you know, but if I was going to have a choice of drinking the two of them.
The 9-year-old.
Right. I would go with the 9-year-old, exactly.
Yeah. And that's your palate right now. You know, I mean, tomorrow may be different.
Right.
You
know? Right.
And I would be, honestly, I'd be out of these two, I'd be leaning toward the one that we opened
at the house.
Of your bottle.
Yeah. Versus
either one of these.
Right.
You know, because that thing about blew your head off. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that was.
And I had it, the day after you opened it. So
right. That was powerful.
If you're lucky enough to find one of these 9 years, man, open it, drink it that day.
I had it about a week after Bob did, same bottle, and it already had mellowed. So yeah, just open it up, hit it hard.
It's there and it's ready to go, man.
I try that with a lot of things in life.
Fine Spirits would like to say we do not encourage binge drinking.
And if you do,
you don't encourage it. You just practice it.
So. Yes, exactly.
Start on Friday and really good Sunday.
Yeah,
that's my advice.
All right. Well, we're going to rate the Old Fitzgerald Bottle of Bond Fall 2020 release 4 sips.
But a different 4 sips
than the other one. Entirely different.
Right.
Entirely. I think the first one was more of a 4 bordering toward the higher end.
Almost
towards
the 5. It's strange to say, but 4 sips can mean something totally different for each different one. You know, it's a different 4 sips.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. Moving
now
on.
Here's something we hope you'll really like.
Moving on to our next whiskey. We're going to go with the King of Kentucky.
What's that, Rocky?
Yeah, that was Rocky.
Why are you ruining my childhood?
Rocket J. Squirrel.
Now Rocky's associated with whiskey.
And that, so pure. Much as anything else, led to my drinking problem.
I don't know what to tell you. So we are moving on to the King of Kentucky 2020 release. We've been very fortunate to have reviewed a couple of these over the years. This one is aged 14 years. This is from barrel number 3. So that tells you how little they have when they're doing them by barrel. 65.3 ABV, 130.6 proof. 79% corn, 11% rye, 10% malted barley. This one came from Warehouse K, Floor 8, and Rick 46. So if you're able to sneak over that big barbed wire fence and sneak in there in the middle of the night, if you can get to that spot in the Rick house and roll one of those out, roll one out from there. Yeah. So King of Kentucky was established in 1881 as a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. Brown Forman acquired the brand back in 1936 from selected Kentucky distillers, and by 1940 had converted into a blended whiskey.
There is some good blended whiskey out there.
Yeah,
not coming from Kentucky.
Yeah, but not 1940. You know, back then, when they said blended, it was, It was discontinued in 1968. In 2018, Brown Forman revived the label. King of Kentucky is an annual release of a single barrel inventory featuring barrel strength, minimally filtered proof presentation with each release and every barrel being unique. And when they say minimally filtered, I'm talking a strainer to catch the chunks minimally filtered. There is no carbon filtration at all. This year's release is a 14-year Kentucky straight bourbon selected from 32 barrels with an average yield of only 26%. So out of the 52 gallons, 26% was left. With approximately 1,900 bottles available, the first two releases of King of Kentucky were only in Kentucky, but this 2020 edition will be in Kentucky, and for the first time we'll actually leave the state with some very limited distribution in Ohio and Illinois. So that probably means one bottle each. It's 1,898 in Kentucky. So this one, it's absolutely huge. Again, it's that proverbial brick to the face.
Topaz there, Bob. It's not dusty. This is a very dark burnt topaz.
On the nose, just cherries, cherries, cherries. The graham cracker comes out.
All of us just put your glasses up to the microphone so the audience can smell. Oh, my God.
A little bit of citrus.
So good.
They're going to smell this one. I mean, they're going to smell this one through the microphone.
Somebody opens this in your city, you'll know.
Yes.
And then on the palate. Hold on. Hold on. Angels are singing right now. Oh my gosh, that one is huge. Just dark, 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 almost black caramel. Huge baking spice. Tobacco leaf. Old, worn, very hard, worn leather. A little bit of herbal note on the tip of the tongue. Cherries just abound. Everywhere.
We were talking about how complex some of the other whiskeys were. This puts them all to shame.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Every year, this one is just always. And
I can imagine.
Thank you so much for the folks at Brown Forman for including us on the press list for this every year.
Oh, my God.
Because we're never going to see a bottle because we're not in Kentucky. And hey, if we're in Kentucky, we're still never going to see a bottle.
Pretty much have to be a multimillionaire to track one of these down.
When I opened the box and looked inside and saw the little wooden box of sample came in, I didn't know that it was coming right then. So I wasn't expecting it. And I let out a squeal like a Girl Scout. Even my secretary goes, "You must got something good." And I'm like, "Oh, you have no idea." What'd you guys think? If you say anything bad, I'll kill you. Okay.
You know what? I would love to have this as, you know, when you have the graham crackers and you got the, you know, the marshmallow and the chocolate. Throw some cherries. Throw some cherries in there.
Yeah.
Throw some cherries in that s'more. And
it's like a cherry s'more.
Oh, gosh. It's just delicious.
Maple syrup came out on my third sip.
I didn't
get any maple earlier, but then maple syrup came out. So this is Vermont maple syrup.
There's all kinds of goodies that you can find. Just all you got to do is look for it. It's got so much going on. It's so big. It's so mouth coating. It's viscous. It's just a delight.
Yeah.
I've never had a bourbon that grew in flavor after hitting the air. But through the whole hour and a half this has been open, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's awesome.
Well,
I mean, what more can you say? I mean, it's just, it's absolutely fantastic. There's a reason why this stuff is so rare, because
it's the heaviest whiskey I've ever had.
You just can't, I mean, you just can't hit this many this good. Five sips, well deserved.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Honestly, I'd give it more.
I'd, he's gone to 11.
Yeah, but it's a different, I'd try to give it 11.
It's a different five sips than some of the other five sippers.
Yeah, it's about a 12. again.
That dusty topaz five sipper.
What did you say, Spinal Tap?
This is a whiskey for a certain mood. This whiskey is so heavy. It's like,
oh, it's not an all-day sipper.
No.
This is end of the night.
Dessert.
Dessert whiskey. Or not even just that. It's not the end of the night. It's not like drink this and go to bed. This is like several hours.
Well, that's all the time we have right now. So,
right, fine.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. God knows we did. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap the subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or your Uncle Larry to play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at Sip, Suds, and Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on there. We're also on Instagram at Sip, Suds, and Smokes, or at Made Man Bob. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks for putting up with me.
If you could just wear pants. Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another amazing day in the basement.
And thank you, Jessen.
Thank you, Bob. Amazing day.
And thank you, Harm.
I forgive you all for making me miss the BTEC show, recording on a different schedule. But whatever, dude, this made up for it. Thank you. Wonderful.
If this doesn't make you happy, then there's nothing that can be done.
My heart grew three sizes today.
What are you, the Grinch?
Yes.
Should see somebody about that.
He's definitely the Grinch.
Yes. Well, he isn't green.
Yeah, but he's still the Grinch.
So good.
I love the fall, gentlemen.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.